I believe that song just came out last month. There's not even a live version of it. There's a version of it with no lyrics, but it's a brand new song. And if you want to watch the video of it, how they put that song together, it's pretty amazing. We're going to do something a little different today. I put that in the newsletter. We're just going to be watching some videos this morning. I actually thought of this several months ago, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But the first song we're going to watch, there's two songs, and then there's two videos we're going to watch. The first song is called Three Wooden Crosses. It was, I think, Randy Travis. I didn't know that until I looked at this a little bit deeper. I'm not a country western fan by any means. But this is the Booth Brothers. The Booth Brothers were just up at our church, old church up in Corning last month, and they've got a pretty amazing voices as they sing together. So I want you to listen to the words of this. It's a country song, but it's talking about three wooden crosses and how someone comes to Christ. This is going to kind of set the tone for where we're going this morning.
Farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never, ever saw the stop sign. And 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left a harvest, a home and 80 acres, faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. That teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he laid that blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of highway.
If I had had two brothers instead of two sisters, I could have been singing like that. it's a powerful song. I don't know whether you like that or not, but that's going to be what we're going to be talking about. Three wooden crosses, more not the wooden cross. We're going to be talking about loving people and talking to people. In our series in Ezra, we've been looking at how the Israelites were facing opposition in their building process of the temple. And we said that they were doing along pretty going along pretty well until the adversaries came and tried to lie to them, tried to deceive them, and then finally wrote to the king and had the king put an end to the work that God had called them to do. Last time we were together, we found them building the temple because Darius had given permission back again. In order to build, they had to be obedient. They had to look past their adversaries, their enemies, and those who were trying to stop them, to persuade them, and they had to look to Jehovah. In the video we just watched, it was talking about a pastor giving a Bible to a hooker and her coming to faith and then passing that faith on to her son. And I wonder, as I've been thinking about this series, or not the series, this message for a while, I wonder if there's people that we look at that we would not share Christ with. Perhaps it would be if I was sitting on the bus next to a hooker. Not sure exactly what I would do. Perhaps it's someone with AIDS. Perhaps it's a homosexual. Perhaps it's a murderer. Perhaps you'd never go to the prison and visit someone. Perhaps it's someone who's homeless and dirty and down on their luck. Perhaps it's some other person that you would say, I probably wouldn't feel real comfortable talking to them, let alone sharing Christ with them. But if you were to turn your Bibles, I'm not going to ask you to do that this morning. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41, we see Jesus talking to a leper, but not only talking to him, he touched him. He touched a leper. If you were to turn back to John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, it's a story about Jesus with an adulterous woman. Both of those people were the worst of society. No one's going to talk to an adulterous woman. And certainly no one was going to go talking, let alone touching a leper. But that's what God's called us to do. And I wonder this morning, are we ambassadors for Christ like that? Is there anyone that we would be put off so much by that we would not talk to them about Christ? We've talked a lot about drawing people. We just prayed this morning, and Joe Lewis and I were talking. He said, we just want to see the church grow. We need some younger people coming in. We need some people who are going to be ready to serve. And we've talked about, how do we attract new families at the church? How do we keep them once they come? How do we get people to join with us to do what God has called us to do, to help us minister, to help us reach people, to help us reach the lost? And I'm not saying we're not this, but I wonder if there's some areas that we can improve on. We need to be a loving, caring, compassionate, concerned congregation in order to bring people into the church and then to see them come to Christ. We cannot be a judgmental group who would look at someone and say, I'll share Christ with some people, but not them. I don't want a homeless, smelly person coming to our church. We were down in Myrtle Beach last week and looked around. We were in, I think, the second service, and it wasn't as filled as I expected to be from last year, but there were some people, I'm sure, who just came in, you know, who probably were not part of that congregation. They just didn't look the part of a Christian, but that church was so loving. People just kind of swarmed around people, and they wanted to draw people in. We need to communicate the truth of God without condoning sinful behavior. Last month, or maybe it was back in June, I guess, the Sunday we did that song service, and that commercial, just before that, if you were here, you remember a commercial coming up for the LGBT community because it was National Pride Weekend or World Pride Weekend. And I thought, I said, what a great commercial before our closing song. And then I realized there are going to be people from that community seeing gospel with us in heaven. There are going to be people who are saved out of that gay community, the lesbian community, the transgender community, who come to Christ, who will be sharing with us. But while they're lost, are we put off by them? I told you, I have been. And someone came up to me, it was Robin Klein, came up and said, Pastor, I really appreciate what you said. I just hope people don't misunderstand you. Some people did misunderstand me. Some people thought that I was promoting that lifestyle and turning my back on the truth of God's word. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying we can love all sinners without giving approval to their sin. Are we a loving, caring group? Do we care for people? Would Would someone feel at home if they came in and they didn't look like us, they didn't act like us? I remember back early years of my youth ministry, right after Columbine, they had pictures of those guys wearing the long black coats and black hair and dark, I believe some of them had makeup on or something. But I asked our youth group that next Wednesday night, I said, would any of you feel comfortable with someone coming in dressed like that? And our youth group said, no, they might have guns. I said, well, forget the guns. If we knew that they were safe, would we still feel comfortable with them? And the consensus of the youth group is no. People who are different than us, we're not too excited to minister to. And folks, I think as a church, we need to be loving. We need to be accepting of people, not condoning their sin, but loving them in Christ. I mentioned back several years ago when we were going through The Cure. We were down at a huge bookstore down in Florence, South Carolina, and my brother-in-law is the one who had me read that book. And how many were here for that study in The Cure? Remember, that's the one? Okay. My brother-in-law still gives that book out. He's ordering it all the time. It's a great book. But remember, we went through that, and it's the room of grace. And I told our church that we are simply a hospital for those who are hurting. And there's people who look at the pastor as being one of the ones who's the leader of the church, who has it all together. And I said, I'm simply another patient. As a pastor, I'm a patient who's maybe not quite as early stages of my injury, but I'm still in a stage of recovery from sin. I'm never going to be over that. I'm still going to be a patient until the day God calls me home. I'm going to be a patient in the hospital of spiritual growth. And we talked about this, how we judge people and how we look at different sins and put some sins up here and others we don't mind as much. We would never be a person who is in the hospital recovering from cancer. Maybe our symptoms have lessened some. We would never be a cancer patient, walk down to the ER and see a patient who's just been brought in with a terrible automobile accident and laugh at them. Oh, they're worse off. They're almost dead. I'm recovering. We would never do that. And that's a stupid picture of how it happens in the church. So I hear Christians constantly talking about various sins and labeling sins of being worse than others. As I said, I'm a pastor. I'm not a doctor. I'm simply another patient who desires to point people to where healing is in the great physician. And folks, that's what I want to talk about this morning. That's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to do something, as I said, very different today. I've been thinking about this several months. But before we went on vacation, a new movie is coming out starring Tom Hanks. And it's going to be the story about Mr. Rogers. So Mr. Rogers is back in the news. And there's two videos I've seen. My first one I saw probably about 6 months ago. And I thought, man, that would be a great illustration in a sermon. And the second one came up not too long after that. When he's spending time with a little boy, and he's sharing with his little boy about how much he loves him. I watched PBS. I was flipping through the channels maybe 2 months ago, and it was a fun drive for PBS, and it was Mr. Rogers. And I can tell you, I don't think – did our kids ever watch Mr. Rogers, Cheryl? They did? I don't ever remember being on in our home. I never watched it. I never appreciated Mr. Rogers until now I'm an adult. He used to be a Presbyterian pastor. He was a Christian. But a lot of celebrities were just talking about the impact that Mr. Rogers had on them. We're going to watch two videos. The first one we're going to watch, and I'm going to come up and tell you about the second one. But this, I want you to think about the church, how Mr. Rogers loves this little boy who's very different. And then we're going to look at the next video about how that this time with Mr. Rogers impacts him. Okay, so go ahead and start the video.
Ideas. I think I know who that is.
Mr. Rogers?
Hey, Jeff. I'm glad to see you.
Hi.
Thank you very much for coming by. I asked Jeff, this is my friend Jeff Erlinger. He's one of my neighbors here. And I asked him if he would come by today because I wanted you to meet him and I wanted you to see his electric wheelchair. We'd been talking about electric cars and all kinds of things we've been thinking about this week. Would you show me how you make your chair go?
Okay, sure. All right. Well, first, this is the on and off switch. And I do this up to turn it on.
Okay.
And
that.
Thanks.
It's a very fancy machine.
But thank
you. But you're the one who makes it go.
Right.
Did it take a long time to learn how?
No, not really. I got the wheelchairs, and that only my first electric wheelchair only took me about a day to learn how to use it.
Gee, that's wonderful. Jeff, your mom and dad must be really proud of you.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Well, I know I am. Now, can you tell my friends what it is that made you need this wheelchair?
Sure. Well, when I was about 7 months old, I had a tumor, and it broke the nerves to tell my hands and legs what to do.
I see.
And they tried to cut the tumor, but they couldn't get it, and I became handicapped. And I got a wheelchair when I was 4 years old.
That was your first one?
Mm-hmm.
When you were four?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, sort of.
You must have some mighty good doctors who've been taking care
of
you.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me any of your doctor's name?
Yeah, I have a pediatrician, Dr. Hansen, who works in Madison St. Mary's Hospital. And then at UW, I have the bone doctor, Dr. Breed, who takes care of the bones, I guess, because he's a bone doctor.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I had surgery earlier this summer because I have pain in my stomach called autonomic dysreflexia, and I just...
What was that
autonomic word? Dysreflexia. I'm not exactly sure what it means.
But you sure can say it.
Yeah. Anyway, so I had a surgery done just recently to try and cut the sphincter because I'm holding my urine in. So, well, you have a lot of things going on when you're... This just shows you have a lot of things happening to you when you're handicapped, but most of the time.
But sometimes
it happens when you're not handicapped.
Of course. But you're able to talk about those things.
Yeah.
So well, and help other people who might have the same kinds of things. Do you know that song that I sometimes sing called It's You I Like? I'd like to sing that to you and with you.
Okay, sure.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you, not the things that
hide you,
not your fancy chair, that's just beside
you,
but it's you I like, every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feeling, whether old or new. I hope that you remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you. It's you I like. And it is you I like, Jim. And there must be times when you do feel blue.
Uh-huh.
What do you do during those times?
Well, it depends.
Sometimes do you make up stories?
Yeah.
Or read?
Yeah.
Or play? I know that's the way I did when I was a little boy. Had all kinds of things that
did
I would
do. Did it help?
It did help. Yeah. Does it help you?
Yeah.
We have to all discover our own ways, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Of doing things when we're feeling blue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling blue right now, though.
Me neither.
I'm so glad that you came today.
Thanks.
Thank you. And I hope you'll come back to visit again.
Okay.
Will you?
Yeah.
And will you give your mom and dad my best?
Sure.
Because they are sure great people.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye, Jeff. I'll watch you as you go.
You can leave the lights off, Joe. That's okay. Now, you might think that's really, really corny. And that's okay. I never watched the show, like I said, but when I saw that, I thought, man, that's such a great story. That's the way the church should be. That's the way I want to be. To love people. I never saw Mr. Rogers. That's what some of the celebrities are saying. There's never anyone he didn't like. And I didn't realize this. I don't even know when the show came on, but they were saying he had a black man on the show regularly when he took a lot of heat for that, evidently, because blacks and whites just didn't interact that much when the show came on. But Mr. Rogers didn't really care about what people thought. He loved people. And I want to ask you, that little interaction with Jeff, that one we just watched, I think, what did he say, he was 8 or 9 years old, do you think that made an impression on him? Do you think that made an impression on Jeffrey? Do you think it meant something to him over the years? Do you think it impacted him at all? Do you think our words to people impact them? Do you think, I've seen students, and students in the school and just kids in the youth group, when someone goes up to them, someone who's not being loved, someone who's not really being talked to, and someone goes to them and spends some time with them, you're going to see them light up. There's a girl, Joanne might know who this is, I don't remember who it is, and somebody asked me while we were on vacation about some of the kids I worked with, and there was a girl who came near the end of the year. She was dressed in black, and matter of fact, Matt Irway had her in class, and I was in for him one day, and I said, do you ever get her to talk? And he goes, she just doesn't talk. So some other teachers had said something about, see if you can get her to talk to you at all, because she won't. So I went over and sat down beside her on the stool, and she wasn't doing anything. She was just kind of sitting, and I asked her her name, and she told me, and I said, now you're new here, right? And she said, yeah. I said, how do you like Wellsboro? She said, I don't know. I said, where'd you move from? She said, Hawaii. Imagine moving from Hawaii to Wellsboro. Can you see why a girl may be maybe a little depressed? Not that Wellsboro is not great, but I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. So I talked to her, and she didn't really open up that much, but I asked some other kids just to try to talk to her, and they did, and I never really saw her come out of her shell much, but just seeing people who are not loved by society or by the world, if you talk to them, I can tell you it impacts them. We're going to watch another video 20, 25 years later when Mr. Rogers is inducted into the Hall of Fame. I want you to hear how this moment that we just watched impacted Jeffrey over the years. Listen to this.
Please welcome Jeffrey Erlinger.
I'm so glad to see you. Oh, thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
Oh. What a surprise.
It's an honor to be here tonight, to be part of your proud moment. This proud moment, you know, when you tell people that it's you I like, we know that you really mean it. And tonight, I want to let you know that on behalf of millions of children and grown-ups, it is you that I like.
Thank you.
me as I say my few words?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, to Jeff Erlinger and all of the wonderful neighbors who have grown up with our neighborhood, this was, of course, completely unexpected, and what a wonderful gift. And I thank the Academy for allowing this to happen. Jeff and I haven't been together for a while. We met when he was, I think, 4 years old.
Five.
Such good neighbors. Well, this is what I wanted to tell you before I knew that I'd have this great gift tonight. Fame is a four-letter word. And like tape or Zoom or face or pain or life or love, what ultimately matters is what we do with it. I feel that those of us in television are chosen to be servants. It doesn't matter what our particular job. We are chosen to help meet the deeper needs of those who watch and listen, day and night. The conductor of the orchestra at the Hollywood Bowl grew up in a family that had little interest in music, but he often tells people he found his early inspiration from the fine musicians on television. Last month, a 13-year-old boy abducted an 8-year-old girl. And when people ask him why, he said he learned about it on TV. Something different to try, he said. Life's cheap. What does it matter? Well, life isn't cheap. It's the greatest mystery of any millennium, and television needs to do all it can to broadcast that, to show and tell what the good in life is all about. But how do we make goodness attractive? By doing whatever we can to bring courage to those whose lives move near our own, by treating our neighbor at least as well as we treat ourselves, and allowing that to inform everything that we produce. Who in your life has been such a servant to you? Who has helped you love the good that grows within you? Let's just take 10 seconds to think of some of those people who have loved us and wanted what was best for us in life. Those who have encouraged us to become who we are tonight. Just 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. No matter where they are, either here or in heaven, imagine how pleased those people must be to know that you thought of them right now. We all have only one life to live on earth, and through television, we have the choice of encouraging others to demean this life or to cherish it in creative, imaginative ways. On behalf of all of us at Family Communications and the Public Broadcasting Service, I thank you for all the good that you do in this unique enterprise and for wanting our neighborhood to be a part of the celebration tonight. Thank you very much.
I want you to think some of that stuff at the end was a little bit out there, but as far as just imagining people and thinking about them. But I want you to think for a moment that Mr. Rogers' challenge to the TV industry was really a challenge to our church, was really a challenge to churches across the country and around the world, if every church realized that they were a chosen people, left here to meet the needs of people around us, our world would be different. I think our world would be impacted, not just the physical needs of people around us, but the emotional needs, certainly the spiritual needs of people around us. If we could understand that God has left us here as a church and as individuals to do his work of what I read earlier in Mark 1 of touching a leper, touching someone who's dirty and down and out, of spending time with an adulterous woman, forget whatever the sin is, but a sinful person. We're all sinners. If we spent time loving people, not judging them, Jesus didn't condone the adultery. He said, don't sin anymore, as a matter of fact. But if we could understand that the church is here to show what the good of life is all about, and that only good comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we could do that, if we could wear our relationship with Christ on our sleeves so that others would see it, if we weren't afraid of it, if we weren't judgmental, if we weren't condemning, if we were loving and concerned, I believe we could communicate the grace of Christ, the grace of God, effectively to those around us. I want to see Draper Baptist Church be that kind of church. Not that we aren't, but I think we have some ways to improve, and I know certainly I have as a pastor need to improve on that, of not condemning, not judging, but loving. We're going to close with a song. This is going to be our closing song. We won't have Paige come up and play the last one. But this is a new song by the Gaithers, the Gaither Vocal Band, called This Is the Place. And I want you to picture it being Draper Baptist Church this morning, that the camera is looking down on our congregation this morning. Is this the type of place that they're singing about? people find a safe place here? I trust that they would. I believe that they would, but you know, we need to be inviting people in. We need to be willing to talk to people that we come in contact with and just say, hey, are you looking for a church? Do you start off the conversation about their need in Christ, because everyone needs that. And I'm not trying to take, I don't want to take anybody from another church. Believe me, there's enough people to go around that we can fill up every church in the community without stealing people. But if you know people who are hurting, who don't feel welcomed by Christians, maybe they've been judged by Christians, they've been condemned, and whatever their sin, love them. Tell them about a church where they can come and they can find healing. They can find grace. We'll cry together. We'll share their pain. But we're going to point them to Christ. I talked recently to someone who's here today about they were going to invite a friend and they weren't sure if they'd feel condemned here or not. We want them to feel loved. I told that person, I said, if the Word of God and I'm preaching through it condemns the sin that they're practicing, I'm going to talk about that. I'm not going to back away from that. We're going to share God's grace, God's love, and God's Word, hopefully in a loving way, in a non-condemning way, non-judgmental way. Because you know what? It's not up to me to judge. It's not up to me to condemn. My job is to teach the Word of God, and your job is to go out and live it out to attract people, or to be a salt and a light. And folks, I want Draper Baptist Church to be known as a church that loves, a church that cares, a church that's concerned, a place where people can come and feel safe and not condemned. And I believe we have that.
We need to be busy. Just look around. We have a lot of places we can fill in today. And there's a lot of people out there who are hurting, who need what we're hearing today. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. They need to hear that Christ is the only way, that Jesus died. He didn't condemn their sin. He died for their sin. And folks, let's not be condemners. Let's just be sharers. Okay, let's share the love of Christ with everyone we meet. Let's stand together. We're going to close in a word of prayer. We'll have a fellowship time downstairs. But keep in mind this morning, be willing to put your arm around people like Mr. Rogers and say, it's you. I called it, it's you I love. It's you I like. Let's not stay away from a certain group of people because they sin more than me. Because our sins are the same in God's eyes, aren't they? Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your word. And just for the challenge, I don't know whether what we said this morning makes us think or not, but it certainly made me think as I was preparing this and thinking what I was going to say and how we should put these videos together. We pray, Lord, that this would be the place, this church would be the place where people can come and feel safe in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their tears, in the midst of their hurt, in the midst of their sin, and feel safe in it, not we're going to condone it, not that we're not going to say it's wrong, but that we're going to point them to the great physician who wants to heal. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for saving us out of the muck and the mire in the world. And Lord, we still struggle with sin. We still struggle with bad thoughts. We still struggle with tempers. We still struggle with anger. And yet, Lord, we're so easily moved in the direction of judging other people. Lord, help us to remember we're a hospital for the hurting, and help us to love people to you. Bless our time together and our Sunday school hour to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.